This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
You're listening to In Depth, exploring issues that affect you with newsmakers from around British Columbia.
We're here with Adrian Carr, a two-term Vancouver City Councillor with the Green Party of Vancouver. To begin with, Adrian, can you tell us what happened last night with the Greens?
Well, it was the biggest nomination meeting in the history of the Greens. It was a packed house. There were so many people that they were lined up down Main Street. We held it at Heritage Hall. It was, you know, there had to be some last minute changes to enable everyone who could wanted to vote to be able to vote, because the capacity of the hall is only, you know, so big. So we sort of had to do some advanced polling or advanced voting just to make sure everyone had that right to vote. In the end, we nominated 11 candidates, 4 for council and 4 for school board, and 3 for park board.
Great. And not to give short shrift to the school board and park board candidates, but we're particularly interested in the council candidates. Can you tell us a bit about the rest of the slate?
Yeah. So, I'm nominated as an incumbent. Pete Fry, who ran for us in the last by-election and before that with me in 2014 as well. Mike Weeb, who is currently a park board commissioner, decided to go for council, so he's nominated. We have David Wong as our 4th, and David has been a longtime community activist down in Chinatown, but through the city as a whole, very strong in terms of, he's an architect, he's worked a lot with First Nations, doing housing with First Nations. I'm thrilled.
Great. Over on the park board and school board slates are strong as well, you feel?
Oh, absolutely. So Stuart McKinnon, basically all our incumbents were nominated. Yeah. So Stuart McKinnon is an incumbent and he was nominated. And then we have 2 new people. Dave Demers is running. He's a landscape designer and works a lot around housing, again, doing sort of the landscape work. And Camille Dumont, who is a food person. He's a Inner City Foods founder. He's a urban agriculturalist, and so brings that kind of experience. Both of them having, you know, really a lot of interest in the role that parks do have in this city, not only from a landscape point of view and how they're taken care of, etc., but also because we're looking at more community gardens supporting them within parks as well. That's part of the park board sort of, I think, new change.
Great, great. And then there's a couple of incumbents on the school board.
Absolutely. Janet Fraser. So she'll be running for 3rd time because she was elected in 2014 and then again in the October by-election. And Estrelita Gonzalez. So Esty and Janet were 2 of our 3rd Green who chose not to run this time around. They topped the polls in the by-election. So we're, you know, feeling good about that. And then Lois Chan-Pedley. And Lois is a young mom and on the board, the PAC Parents Committee for, let me think. I can't remember which board she's on. but she's very active at the community level in education.
As you mentioned, there's 4 council candidates.
Correct.
I saw the announcement. It mentioned that there's sort of ongoing talks between the Greens and the Vancouver and District Labor Council, because there had been an agreement for the Greens to run 3 council candidates. Do you know how that squares up with the previous agreement that was signed a couple weeks ago for the Greens to run no more than 3 council candidates? Now they're endorsing 4. Do you know how that works?
Yeah. So basically, we may not end up getting the endorsement of the VDLC. That was a risk that our board of directors took when they made a decision about how many the Greens would run. So in our constitution and bylaws, our board of directors is authorized to basically determine the election process for our candidates, including setting the number. So I imagine, I don't know, I wasn't a participant in that debate, but I imagine it was a difficult decision in terms of potentially risking the support of VDLC. But there's a lot of hope that the VDLC will in fact say it's okay for us to run one more at school board, one more at council, and not jeopardize our agreement with them, so that they would continue to endorse candidates to the number that was in the agreement we signed. And they've done that. The important thing is they've done that. They've said to Vision, for first to one city, that was the first party, that they said it was okay to run more than they're going to endorse, and that would be, you know, potentially more than, end up being more than the 10 for council, for example. So one city, they said, okay, you can win one more. And then Vision, they said it too. And then the COPE team. And so in the end, we think there's also a fairness issue. We're not talking about people running a huge number more than would be able to be elected. But really, the Greens are in the strongest position to elect. Our polling is incredibly good. Our incumbents have topped the polls,
including
that's right, yeah, more than any councillor in the history of Vancouver. So in terms of votes, so we're hopeful that and our relationship is important to us. It's a new relationship, but we're really hopeful that they will look upon our decision to run one more on each of the school board and council favorably, knowing we have the chance to elect those individuals, and they'll only endorse the number that they've said in the agreement with us, and we understand that.
Now, can we just talk about, I mean, is this an exciting moment for the Vancouver Greens? Like, you've been around the Vancouver Greens and the broader Green Party for a while. What is this moment like in 2018?
Well, I'm super excited. I was thrilled with last night's results. I'm super excited about what the future does hold for the Green Party, but not just the Green Party, for the city of Vancouver. Because I think our presence where we've been elected has always been very, very positive. Because, number one, we put public interest first. You know, we've never taken developer donations from the Green Party of Vancouver point of view. I think that's really important in civic politics. So we stand up for the citizens. We think about the information we need to make a sound and solid decision. We're fair and balanced, and we tend to think more, I think, than the other parties about not only what is good for the moment and the current people living in our city, but also for our children. So we have that longer term perspective. I think that it's really exciting, not just for me, not just for the Green Party, but for the people of Vancouver, who are, by the polling, saying, you know, we're ready to support a larger number of Greens. And I think, I think it bodes well.
Can we talk a bit about, I mean, can you explain for us what sort of the connection between the Vancouver Greens? Obviously, you've got a past with the provincial Greens and the federal Greens. Like, how are they all connected? If you sign up to be a member of the Vancouver Greens, are you also a member of the other levels, or are they distinct?
They are distinct. Absolutely. I was one of the co-founders of the Green Party of BC back in 1984. I know, it's a while. That's a separate society, separate political organization. Green Party of Canada, founded actually later in that year, separate society, separate membership. Same thing with the Green Party of Vancouver, which is registered also not just as a endorsing organization, but a society under the Societies Act and Societies Branch in British Columbia, so that there's that greater transparency, and anybody can look, you know, go to the Society's branch and look at our annual general submission. They're all different. You have to pay your dues and pay your money to join each one.
So there's probably, presumably, a number of people who are members of two or three of those different levels, but they are distinct.
Absolutely. Or like me, donate to all of them too.
Sure. Yeah. and I mean, and the broader, like beyond Canada, I mean, the international kind of Green Party, are there sort of overarching values or that are kind of common to the international Greens?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, when you know, it might take a second to explain, but when we were starting the Green Party of BC, it was because we were particularly frustrated with provincial politics and just happened to see an article that said, you know, election of first Greens to the Bundestag in Germany. Oh. And we said, what are these, you know, who are the Greens, right? And it was email, pre-internet. I mean, we're talking 1983 at that time. So we had to write. We had to go to the library and find the address and then write. And they sent us their constitution and bylaws and then said, and there are Greens in Australia and in New Zealand and in England. And so we wrote away. We got their constitution and bylaws and they all had the same basic principles. And basically every Green Party does have some fundamental principles. And those principles are number one, to really understand the need for sustainability and to take direction from natural ecosystems in terms of supporting those natural ecosystems, knowing our wealth and our health is related to the health of the environment. Number two, making sure that our economy is one that is sustainable, robust and sustainable, and very much locally focused as well. So that, you know, local jobs, local industry is incredibly important to us. Number three, social justice, making sure that every person's rights are protected in a society that values the diversity. And number four, nonviolence. And I don't think there's any other party that has nonviolence in their constitution and bylaws, but a commitment to that. And finally, a commitment to democracy in the sense of real grassroots democracy.
Great. So, I mean, here in Vancouver, where we're getting, you know, well, I guess across the province, we're getting ready for municipal elections. But do you think having the, you know, Andrew Weaver and the provincial Greens with the role they're playing now in Victoria, do you think that helps or hinders for you guys here at the Vancouver level?
Helps.
Yeah. How so?
Because number one, they're showing that parties can collaborate. Mm. And, you know, I think that there's a real dissatisfaction in Vancouver over a party, in this case it's Vision, that held for the last 10 years the majority of seats. And people say that they come to council and they'll say, you know, I'm here to tell you how I feel about a project, but I don't think you're listening. Mm-hmm. I think you've got your minds made up. You've got the votes to push anything through. And when people feel that, democracy is at risk. So I think that that what Andrew Weaver and the Greens in BC are showing, because it is a minority government, there is a confidence and supply agreement that was worked out. There was negotiations with both the Liberals and the NDP and that the Greens pursued right after the last provincial election. What they've worked out is a confidence and supply agreement that has very clear statements about what jointly the two parties will pursue, and a lot of freedom for the two parties also to disagree, but to have continued conversations. I mean, they are actually talking to each other in a way that we haven't seen in politics for a long time.
Yeah, it's not like they've been absorbed into the bigger NDP caucus.
I mean, not at all.
No, they're doing their own thing, and they agree on things, and they disagree on other things. It's not like they've been. Yeah.
No, you hear a lot about the disagreements.
Yeah, you do.
but you know, to the point though, I think people are really excited about a more collaborative form of government.
I mean, that seems important here because in Vancouver, it seems quite possible that we're going to have, as you say, Vision's had the majority on council for the last decade. It's been quite a while since. It seems likely that this time around, no one party is going to have a majority.
Yeah.
Right? It seems, no matter what the result in October, it seems like you might have four, maybe five even different affiliations ending up with representation on council. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the party system in Vancouver, at least not going back a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Agreed. We've had parties in Vancouver for 81 years, I think. And I don't know when the last time that no party had a majority on council. So is that going to be... I mean, and I could be totally wrong. Maybe it won't turn out that way. But it seems possible that we're going to have a sort of patchwork council with a bunch of different, a diversity of kind of affiliations, and like we haven't seen in a very long time, if ever. Is that going to be a good thing, or is it going to be a situation where nothing can get done because everyone's disagreeing and nothing can get approved? And are we going to see like a logjam, or maybe just...
Well. Look at the experience provincially.
Yeah.
A lot is getting done.
Yeah.
So if there's a will to work together, which is what people want, we can get a lot done. And I do, and I agree with you. I think the mood of the people of Vancouver, it's a change election. They want change. And I think the mood is don't give a party a majority. It goes to their heads. Mm-hmm. Too much power in the hands of sort of one group of people. And there's a big more diversity in the kind of strength of parties, candidates coming forward. I think that we could see a council that is much, much more balanced, around different perspectives and much more diverse. And my hope, if I am hopefully reelected, in October, my goal is going to be to make sure that the council works, to do everything I can to bring parties into a more collaborative style of governance.
Well, you'll be one of the, if you are reelected, third term, mm-hmm. You'll be one of the more veteran voices in there. I mean, it's no matter what happens, we know there's going to be a lot of turnover. There's only a handful of incumbents running for reelection, and you're one of them. Is that going to be a challenge? There's going to be, as you say, it might be a more diverse council. There's going to be some fresh blood, but there's going to be, it's going to be a huge turnover. I mean, is it going to be a challenge in some of these new councillors getting up to speed, especially with losing so much institutional memory?
Yeah.
Is that going to be tough for the first few months, first year of this new council? Is that going to be a challenge?
Yeah. Well, hopefully my job is going to be, if I get my team in, the four of us, it starts now. It starts really passing on information that's useful in terms of getting people up to speed before the election happens. It takes a while, actually, to get up to speed. I would say it took me a year. There was not a lot of help from some sides of the table. I have to say Elizabeth Ball, though, who I was sitting next to in my first term, was exceedingly helpful. And at times where it got frustrating, she just sort of turned to me and she'd say, just breathe deeply. There can be, I think, help that crosses party lines too.
Yeah.
That just brings people into the fold faster in terms of just knowing, how to approach reading 700 pages, on an agenda, and who to turn to when you need to ask questions that, to just understand more fully something. Because even just knowing we've got 10,000 staff, at the city. So knowing, who you can find out the information you need from is also incredible. That takes a long time to get up to speed on that, but that information could be shared.
Yeah. So to change gears a bit, you and I spoke about this before, but your decision to run for council again this year instead of running for mayor, can you walk us through that a bit? Because at one point, I guess over a few months, you were grappling with this decision about whether you'd run for a third term on council or try to become Vancouver's first green mayor.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through that a bit?
Sure. Well, I was certainly encouraged to run by many, many people. So my name in the hat was because of that. And I took the idea to our annual general meeting of the Green Party of Vancouver back in February and March. I can't remember now. Maybe it was March. A motion was put on the floor to support me in a bid for mayor. It was a unanimous vote. But certainly they cautioned me to assess my chances, because the party made it clear, they want to see me be reelected, and if the chances were not very good, then I should probably run for council. But that was within the party. What surprised me was the public. Probably, I would guess, hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 people contacted me over the ensuing months. And they said virtually the same thing. Adrian, they say, you'd make a fabulous mayor. If you decide to run, I'll absolutely back you. But I'm so afraid you won't win. And then we'll lose your voice in the council chambers. And we can't afford to lose your voice. So that made me really focus on what my chances really were. And so to make my chances better, I looked at polling. My polling was excellent. I topped the polls of all the potential mayoral candidates. So I knew I had the public on my side. But in any election, it's also about who you're competing with and the strength of those campaigns. So I did reach out and ask for the support of the other parties on the center left. And by that, I simply meant not running a candidate and instead allowing me to be a candidate that they would vote for, but they just not running yeah. a candidate. Yeah. I didn't get that support. You know, at first, the first party that really made it clear vision decided they would run their own mayoral candidate. The other party said, no, we really can't support you. And then it turned out there were other candidates that came forward already. Shauna Sylvester was in the game. But then during this time period, Kennedy Stewart came in as an independent, but I think with a lot of probably NDP back. Yeah. backing. And then it looks like now Cope may have a mayoral candidate. Yeah. So with that kind of a field, it could have ended up just like, and it might end up just like the October by-election last year, when there were five candidates on the center left getting 2/3 of the vote. And Hector Bremner from the NPA won with 27%. So I didn't want to see a repeat of that.
Yeah, I mean, it could end up happening that, because even without you in the race, we've got so many mayoral candidates that we may end up seeing a mayor get elected with 25, 27, 30% of the vote,
yep.
which I don't know if that's ever happened in Vancouver before for a mayor to get elected with that low of the overall vote.
Yeah, I'm going to encourage everybody to get out and vote because I think this is going to be a tight election.
Yeah.
I think it's very competitive, very tight, and I think every vote's going to really count. And just to remind everybody, boy, I got in 2011, my first election, running for council, with 90 vote margin. 90
really?
Votes. Yes. It was that tight.
You came in 10th?
I came in 10th.
Yeah.
Wow. I know. And the last poll reporting pushed me in. It was unbelievable.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that close.
Yeah. Nail biter.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been through, this will be your third election at the civic level. Mm. How this far out, we're still a few months out.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's election headlines all the time. New parties launching, new candidates coming in. Yeah. Does this election seem different from the other ones?
Totally.
If so, how?
Change election.
Yeah.
It's the mood. The mood of the people is there. Yeah. And I think the big change started, you know, when the mayor decided in January that he wasn't going to seek re-election.
Yeah.
I mean, before him, Andrea Reimer, sitting councillor, made that decision, and then you saw a number of people declare, "No, we're not running again." So that kind of, I think, created the mood for change. Or maybe amplified it.
Yeah.
It was probably already there, and then it just seemed to me it's accelerated. Just like every nomination contest, every party's holding is interesting. The VDLC's role in endorsing a slate that's never happened before that I've seen in an effort to try and not have an overly competitive field and recreate or redo the kind of October by-election kind of scenario. No, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen people talk or heard so many people talking about an election, as you say, this far in advance.
Do you feel like, I mean, because for us, for you as an elected official, or for me as a reporter who covers City Hall a lot, I feel sometimes like it's kind of inside baseball and I'm talking to people who already follow it. But do you get a sense that people, sort of quote-unquote average people outside of these really political circles, are sort of average people more plugged into the election than they might normally be 4 months out from a civic election, 5 months out from a civic election?
Yeah.
Do you get that impression that sort of the...
Totally.
You know, average folks...
Yeah, I do. And don't forget, like, you know, I study this stuff like you.
Yeah.
They say about 5% of people are actually tuned in to what's going on politically.
Yeah.
5 to 7, but very small proportion.
And
but
typically
not
it's
this
the lowest
time.
At the civic level.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to provincial elections, federal elections, people often engage with civic elections the least. But of course, we always hear about, this is the politics that really affects people's day-to-day lives a lot, the municipal politics.
Yeah. I think it's because there's obviously a change. And when there's a change, there's opportunity. And so I think people are engaged because they're thinking, well, what's the change going to be? Who's going to put their names forward? Which parties, et cetera? So part of it's that. And you know what else, Dan? I think part of it is simply the kind of the crises we have in this city.
Yeah.
And housing is the top of the list. I mean, people talk about housing everywhere I go. They talk about lots of other things, including bike lanes too. Yeah. and parks but there's more engagement on the civic issues. And that, I think, is what's driving interest in the civic election.
Yeah. Now that you're officially not in the mayoral race, maybe you can speculate. We've got all these different candidates now for mayor. Do you think how many, a month from now or 2 months from now, or as we get, right down to September, October, how many candidates are going to end up on the ballot? Do you think some of them are going to pull out? We've got maybe 7 or 8, I think, declared mayoral candidates that are, at least on Mario Canseco's poll, that one that we looked at. He did a horse race poll a few weeks ago. It had 8 names on there, all of whom seem reasonably legitimate, credible candidates who want to run. How many are we going to see
on
election day?
I think that the NPA's nominated Ken Sim, and I think he's going to stay there.
Yeah.
So on that side of the spectrum, Wei Young had just announced this week with a new party. I talked to her. I was actually at an event on Sunday where Women Transforming Cities had brought together women candidates, including mayoral candidates, and a lot of women in the room. And Wei seems like she's gung-ho to keep in there.
Yeah.
Who knows about Hector? Hector Bremner, he was denied candidacy with the NPA for mayor. May start his own party. May run for mayor. Yeah. I don't know.
We keep hearing that it's coming, and maybe bits are coming out, here and there in dribs and drabs, but there's still been we're almost into July now. We had heard that he was going to launch the party before the end of June. So I don't know, maybe it's slow. I don't know. It's been slow.
Yeah, who knows? To start a new party, I've done it. It takes a lot of time to get a party up and running. It really does. And to get the name recognition of the party established. So he's having second thoughts. And then on the other side of the spectrum, Vision has got Ian Campbell nominated, and I think they made it clear. It seems to me that they are running a mayoral candidate. I've talked to Shauna Sylvester. She seems very keen. She was at that meeting last Sunday, Women Transforming Cities. She seems keen to stay in there. And one of her reasons also is because she's the only woman mayor candidate on the center left.
Right.
Kennedy Stewart seems equally keen. I think that he and Shauna and actually potentially Patrick Condon are all seeking the mayoral nomination from COPE. So maybe after that nomination, there won't be maybe somebody might drop out. But it's not what they're saying now anyway.
Sure. Yeah. And then I guess one thing they'll all be looking forward to as well is that on July 17th, is when the Vancouver District Labor Council will endorse a mayoral candidate. So they've been, as we've talked about, brokering these agreements with the different parties on the left, center left, about how many candidates each will run and how many the VDLC will endorse from each party for council, park board, school board. But July 17th is when they're actually going to officially throw their weight behind one mayoral candidate.
Right.
So
that too might influence those who are seeking that that support from the VDLC. It can make a big difference to be endorsed. I know that in 2011, maybe those 90 votes came from firefighters because I was pretty thrilled to get the endorsement of the firefighters in Vancouver.
There you go.
So because they have a lot of members and they get their members out.
Yeah, so that's what I wonder. Like in this new, this is the first municipal election after the BC government has brought in this campaign finance reform. So there's much more strict limits on contributions, and we're not seeing the big union and corporate donations that some parties benefited from in the past. So I wondered, I mean, in this new world, does that mean that sort of the an endorsement like the VDLCs or the sort of the support of the actual people can mean more because you're not able to buy tons of TV ads or things like that. You're not able to spend as much for phone banks. So having an endorsement from an organization like that that reaches directly to tens of thousands of Vancouver unionized households, does it mean more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure it does. It's a playing field leveler to remove corporate donations and union donations. I think it's good. It's very good for politics and the way politics is done. I've long held that it's I think a bad idea to accept developer donations when you make so many decisions at council on development issues. It just smacks of the opportunity for corruption. We've seen other cities, Montreal, go through the same kind of thing, and more than that, it's that the people suspect. The voting public suspects that there could be corruption. That's what's really bad in terms of undermining democracy. But for me, for the Green Party, it's a real leveler. I mean, I still love the cartoon that was after the 2011, I think maybe it was 2014 election. It was 2011. I spent $23,000 on that campaign and won. And there had been a developer who fronted a luncheon to support Gregor, and the cost of of having a lunch, to sit down and have a lunch, was $25,000. So there was this cartoon about, you know, cost of this plate, one lunch plate to support Gregor, $25,000. Adrian's whole campaign cost $23,000. That won't happen. That's good. It's good that era has ended.
So presumably it's good for the Greens. I mean, is the Greens had just refuse to accept corporate or I guess developer donations.
That's right.
Donations from real estate entities.
Yes, we did.
To their own detriment, I guess.
Well, I got in, I got in. And it was, as I say, a squeaker, but that was good. And we had formally accepted some business donations.
Right.
You know, like a local brewery giving a keg of beer to an event. That was a good donation. So we can't accept those either. And small businesses have always been big supporters of ours. And that's nice for things like your silent auctions at events, those kind of things. So now, you know, but generally we never did accept developer donations.
And that was just a sort of decision.
It's a principle. It's just to make sure that no one could ever say that that our votes on anything were bought.
Sure. Yeah. Now we'll wrap up soon, but I mean, one thing you mentioned about how vision looks at this point, like they're pretty clear, pretty intent on running a mayoral candidate. Mm-hmm. Obviously, earlier on, they had been publicly talking about the idea of not running a mayoral candidate and supporting either an independent or potentially a candidate from another party. Mm-hmm. When they did make that decision that they were going to run a mayoral candidate who has ended up being Ian Campbell, how much of a factor was that, the vision insistence on running a mayoral candidate? A factor was that for your decision not to run for mayor?
It was an important turning point.
The vision.
It was because I knew that when they said they were going to run a mayor candidate, they put the money behind a mayor candidate. So it's not just their decision. It's knowing, again, when you're in a first past the post race for mayor, because there's only one vote for mayor, unlike council where there's 10 votes, right? How big a campaign one's able to mount makes a difference. How you get your vote out, whether you've identified your vote, the advertising you do, all of that, it makes a big difference. And Vision is known as having a strong electoral machine. They got a lot of people on their lists and ability to get out. So that was one. And then Kennedy Stewart coming in because he comes with NDP support behind him, and they also have a good election machine. So, but vision was the turning point.
The turning point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when they had been publicly earlier in the year, I guess the first quarter of the year, kind of after
Robertson's announcement that he wouldn't run for re-election. Mm-hmm. Vision had been talking publicly so much about the need for collaboration among mm-hmm. sort of the progressive parties and the need to sort of unite. Did you feel like there was any sort of discrepancy between what they were saying publicly about collaborating and what you were experiencing when you were talking to them privately, trying to get support or gauge support for your own potential run?
Yeah, I think, you know, my gut instinct is that they're board and internally is a bit split.
Yeah,
I think that there's two different points of view within Vision, and one was the message I first heard, which was around more collaboration, and the second was more bullish.
Yeah,
Vision all the way, do or die, yeah. And maybe it's the latter in this election.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are saying that they're just. To me, anyway, on the street and at events where I attend in the public, that they're not happy. They're ready for a change.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Adrian.
My pleasure.
Great talking to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, Dan.
You've been listening to In Depth. Subscribe to this podcast using the links available on theprovincepodcasts.com or search for The Province In Depth in iTunes.